This is the Echo Network.
Hey folks, this is Chris, the producer for the Royal Man Report. As you'll soon find out, this week's episode had quite a few audio gremlins inside. We even lost part of the show, so I apologize for that. And I still think it's a really good show. That's why we're going to go ahead and put it up there, warts and all. But I do apologize about the audio quality. We'll get it fixed for next week. In the meantime, enjoy this week's episode of The Royal Man Report.
The Royal Man Report.
We even have a sponsor now.
Kelly's Westport Inn with Jeff Herr.
I'm the back to baseball guy.
Michael Engel.
They call themselves the Kings of Kaufman.
Chris Kamler, who is the producer.
All right, stand by.
And Troy Olson. And now, the Royal Man Report.
Which is this group of Royals fans, like three or four of them, and they are kind of clinically insane. Attention,
attention, ladies. Hey everybody, good afternoon, good evening, and hello, and welcome to the Royal Man Report. My name is Chris Kamler, in for the vacationing, the out on assignment, the possibly duplicative Casey Royal Man, Troy Olson. I'm also joined with Michael Engel of kingsofkaufman.com, a member of the Fansided Network, and Jeffrey Batman Herr of the Echo Sports Report.
Yes.
Of the Echo Sports Report.
Nice.
Fellas, who wants to talk about our Kansas City Royals?
Oh,
I'd honestly rather talk about Batman.
We can do that.
That's why I wore the shirt.
And that's fine.
That's
no problem at all.
You know what? Let me start. Do I need to raise my hand?
No. This is a normal show. You don't need to raise your hand.
The spirit
just
stick.
Talk.
I kind of started fleshing out some of my thoughts on the Royals, on the Echo Sports Report that we did earlier. So I kind of started a little mini rant there, and I'm no Royal man, but I'll go on a little rant here if
please.
I may. It's just first of all. If you follow me on Twitter, then you saw me. I posted this earlier where from the post-game press conference with Dead Yost, the question, I believe it was Robert Ford that asked it, the question was, what even a question, it was just a statement. Hey, Jeremy Guthrie didn't
quite go. Hey, Ned Yost.
Yeah,
hey, Ned Yost. Hey, Ned Yost. Hey.
Jeremy Guthrie didn't quite go as planned today, or didn't quite go how you planned it, did it? And then Ned Yost's reply was, no. Actually, it was. Oh, no, he said, it's not quite what you were looking for, was it? And he said, no, it actually was. And that right there is just, that's why the Royals fail. And I put that out there, and well, so I got a few people that agreed. One person sent a reply and said, you know, or people just put too much stock in what's being said in post-game interviews. That may or may not be the case, but honestly, no matter how much stock I put in a post-game interview, I am not supposed to be happy as a fan. Nor should I think it's acceptable for my manager to go out there and say, after a game like today, after last 20 games like the Royals have had, where they're 5-15, and say, yes, we were looking for our pitcher to give up 5 runs in the first 3 innings and have an ERA of, what, 9?
Yeah.
5 runs in 5 innings.
Runs.
So
pretty bad.
9 ERA. That's what they're looking for. That's why the Royals are failures at baseball. That should be unacceptable to this organization. I don't care if that's actually what you believe. You know, I mean, there's a way to say that. I get what Ned Yost was trying to say. There's a way to say it.
He throws strikes.
Yeah,
you know,
you know what? 5 runs is not what we wanted, and he needs to get better in that department. But he did show some good things. We can build on it. Boom. Fine with that.
We need a major league moment. We need Lou Brown to stand on a chair and just rip these guys. And it's just no, Robert Ford. 5 runs in the first inning isn't acceptable. It's just not. It's not acceptable.
Absolutely.
It wasn't acceptable for the last guy we just shipped out of here. It's not going to be acceptable for this guy. It's not going to be acceptable for this team. It's not going to be acceptable moving forward. This crap ends now. That's not what he said. He said, no, I think he did fine.
This is cool. Yeah,
his fourth and fifth innings were
good.
Yeah,
it's good. It's good. You know?
My check's still cash. Geez. We're good.
Yeah, it's awful. Like, and the point... The biggest thing that I come to now as a Royals fan, I'm sure you guys have all felt it and are currently feeling it, but what do we do? You know, as fans, how – there's obviously the Royals are going to do what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, how do we get our message across? How do we get it? I don't even know. You know, it's just at this point, what is there to do? I mean, we can – I like baseball. I like the Royals. I like Kansas City. I want to be a fan of my hometown team. You know, this sounds kind of stupid to say, but I don't have a choice. The Royals are my team.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's part of it is because I identify so much with the city, and the Royals are identified with the city. Yeah. So it's the same deal with the Chiefs, you know. Even if the Chiefs suck worse than ever, yeah, I'm still going to be a fan of them too. So it's just like, what do we do at this point? It's I know it feels like we've been here before, but God, it just every time you think the Royals have found the ultimate low, it just seems like they find a new way to get lower, doesn't it?
It can always go deeper. That's how it always is. And it's really frustrating because it wasn't supposed to be this way. You know, this was going to be our time. And, you know, the Royals can backtrack and say that was talking about the city and the All-Star game. But no, everything they said coming into the year indicated that they thought that they could win this year. Maybe not the playoffs, but 500... perfectly reasonable expectation, and I think a lot of people felt that way, you know, either 500 or even close.
Absolutely, if they would have gone exactly 78 and 82 or 84, whatever it was,
for a worse record than last year, and it's been the same. The record hasn't changed. I mean, you want to see some growth here. You know, we were talking on the Vault on Thursday to Tyrone Brooks of the Pirates. Well, here's the Pirates timeline: 2007.
3 years.
I mean, right at the end of 2007, I mean, they had just as miserable of a track record as the Royals. End of 2007, they bring in Neil Huntington as their general manager, and they're 14 games above 500 today.
Well, I saw something, I can't remember who tweeted
and,
it.
You know, that's without Gerrit Cole and Jameson Taillon in the majors. They're still coming up, so
yeah,
you know, it's not like, oh, they've had these first-round picks.
Those are recent developments.
They're coming. They're not even here yet. What happens when they get here? But the Royals, no. It's just the same spinning the wheels and the muck and the mire.
And I saw this tweet I was looking for, and I found it from Scott Thomas, Royaling 2012,
mm-hmm.
on, I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Here it is, 2009, Orioles, Royals, Oakland A's, Nationals, Pirates, and D-backs all finished in last place. 2009 was 3 years ago. 2011, Diamondbacks made the playoffs, and everyone else is over 500 in 2012, except for the Royals. And they're, what are they now, 13 games, 14 games under 500? How many?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
I mean, just awful.
Just not
all these teams. All these teams have turned their organizations around. The Nats, the Nationals were terrible.
They were so bad.
And, I mean, the Pirates, I mean, they've obviously, you know, they've been just as bad as the Royals for the last 25 years.
Yeah, and even at the beginning of the year, you can say, okay, Andrew McCutchen's great, but there was a stretch at the beginning of the year for like 20 games they didn't score more than 3 runs.
Yeah. I mean, when we played the Pirates, we were like finally a team on our level.
Yeah.
And then they swept us. And next thing you know, they're what, 14 games over 500?
Yeah. And they're challenging for first, and they have every possibility to do it. It's just really aggravating to watch.
And they're in a position that the Royals thought we'd be in, either, you know, hopefully by this year, where not only are you competing or are you in first place, but there's more on the way for them. You mentioned it earlier. Jameson Taillon, Gerrit Cole. We talked to Tyrone Brooks on the Kansas City Baseball Vault, and he was telling us about, you know, guys they had in the minor leagues and how they're developing them and how they're coming along. And as good as they are this year, you know, they got more talent coming. And it's pitching talent.
And it's talent that looks legit, and they seem to be doing things. I mean, I don't know what to do. You know,
something, Engel. Come on.
I can't quit on this team.
Come on, man.
Here's the even bigger problem, okay? We've been lauded over the last 2-3 years for this great farm system at Dayton Moore. He has deserved every bit of credit that he's gotten for the farm system we've had over the last couple of years. But look, this year, heading into what will be 2013 as our farm system, I mean, the Royals might have 5 or 6 guys that make a top 100 list, but of those guys, I mean, how many are close? Now, Kyle Zimmer is going to be on that top 100 list, I would bet.
Probably.
And he's not close right now because he's in rookie ball, but he should be in Kane County, and he's a collegiate pitcher, so those guys move pretty quick. I mean, is Trevor Bauer, is he in the majors right now?
He made 2 or 3 starts.
Yeah, I mean, he got called up pretty quick. He was a 2011 draft pick. So,
yeah, he was number 3 overall last year.
Yeah, so those college guys move pretty quick.
And well, I know you're not supposed to look at the, you know, the Bryce Harpers and the Trevor Bowers and stuff like that, but it's hard to make that comparison when it's hard to not use them as a comparison.
Aaron,
you know,
Crow,
I mean,
yeah, you'd have to. You know.
Aaron Crow makes his major league debut
in
2011 after a full 2010. I mean, he was a year and a half in the minors, if that.
So yeah, and not even pitchers, too. You know, look at Alex Gordon. He only spent 1 year in the minors, and obviously he struggled quite a bit when he got up to the majors, and it's just now come into his own.
Yeah.
But still move quickly. You know, point is, though, I mean, and I just wanted to make the exception with Kyle Zimmer clear, but other than that, look at this AAA roster.
Yeah.
Who's coming up? You know, Will Myers, Jake Odorizzi.
Yeah.
Who else? Nobody. It's all organizational filler in that. Then look at Double A. Who's coming up?
Yeah, Double A.
You know, I mean, you'd say Mike Montgomery, but he just, you know, he took a step back down to get to Double A.
You know, Chris Dwyer wasn't good in Double A.
Chris Dwyer's in Triple A, but I mean, he's still at a 4.8 ERA? I mean, is that the Royals now where if you have less than a 5 ERA, you get promoted?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, pretty much. The problem with Mike Montgomery is, yeah, he's now a top draft pick in Double A, but he went backwards from Triple A back down to Double A. So that's bad.
I mean, it's so unfortunate because we've talked on this show about how the Royals have just effed with Montgomery beyond
all
recognition
for a long time.
Yeah, and I talked to Alan Yeager recently. I believe he's listening to the show.
Hello, hi.
I'd like to thank Alan for coming on our show when he did a few months ago. And, you know, it's a thing where, you know, I don't know. You never know. Yes, you never know who's to blame. But just from the information I have, I feel like the Royals just put Mike Montgomery in a position where he wasn't able to succeed. And, you know, those are my words and nobody else's just because that's what I personally feel. But it's, you know, all the same, it's frustrating. You know, what are you going to do at this point? Please.
Where can we hear more about your feelings about the pitching staff of the Kansas City Royals?
You know, Chris, I'm glad you asked.
Thank you.
Because
we
talked last week on the Echo Sports Report, and I don't know, did you guys mention on the Royal Man Report, the echonetwork.com, all the changes that are happening on
echonetwork.com? No, I mean, we got, you know, 6 or 7 hours of broadcast time to fill, so we can talk about it. We talked a little bit, but... tell me now.
By now, I'm sure a lot of people who, if you guys follow us, whether it's on Twitter or anywhere else, know that echonetwork.com, we're bringing in a slew of new writers, pumping out a lot of content. It's not just baseball. It's not just sports. We got the pop culture stuff. We got movies in there. We got
and clearly music. There's going to be an ongoing dialogue about Batman versus Superman.
Of course. We got politics on our side. I mean, we're bringing out, expanding our reach quite a bit with the Echo Network. But an article that I myself am ready to post this week. It's an article I've done a lot of research on, and I've done some interviews with people. I've done lots of. I haven't talked to anybody in the Royals organization, but you know, it just kind of. I did pull some quotes from Royals people from other articles in there, so it's going to be interesting. You know, I hope everyone likes it. I hope everyone takes the time to read it, but it just goes into detail about how when you change the philosophy, or when you change the training of a pitcher, who's this term program pitcher is popular now, and you know it's for pitchers that have a select program. If you go on to, if you were to search Pine Tar Press and search Denver Bundy, he had a guest post. It's Dylan Bundy's dad. He had a guest post on Pine Tar Press, and he talked about, you know, the different programs that a long toss pitcher would be on, whether it's high school, college, or the pros, and he kind of made the argument for going back to a four-man rotation in the pros. But if you read that article, it gives you a good idea of really what is involved in a program when you talk about a program pitcher. And it's really intense in terms of, you know, they stick to this program, it's very regimented, and it's very tailored to each individual pitcher, which was the important part, because when you get to the pros and you're a young pitcher and you're on this program, so many pro teams in the past, not all of them, but a lot of them, and you know the numbers getting less and less, but they're still out there of teams that will change those programs. They typically will have a one program fits all approach, and they will try and get every pitcher, no matter what their skill set is, no matter who they are, bullpen pitcher, starter, hard thrower, finesse guy, all of them on the same program. And when you switch that program, it affects pitchers. And say we talked about it with Alan Yeager when he was on this show, the types of effects it can have on a pitcher, and it's not good. And so that's kind of what this article is about. I talked to a guy named Chris Gruhler, who was a minor league pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds. He was a big long toss guy. He was obviously not going to give away everything in the article, but he was affected greatly by the fact that they changed their program.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
What you talk about pitchers wanting to be have their own specific training regimen.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with like the Army philosophy or the boot camp philosophy where everybody has to climb over the same wall and climb under the same whatever and move the same tire and you know what's wrong with making a fundamental pitching, everybody's going to pitch like this and this is the let's call it the Royal way or the Team X way.
Well, here's the difference is when you look at say a boot camp for the Army or whatever it may be, a boot camp is designed as like a baseline process. So everybody has to climb over the same wall because they make that type of a thing and the rigors of boot camp. You have to be able to go through this in order to survive warfare. Some people are better at boot camp than others, but that's the minimum amount that we have that we need to make sure that you're capable of if we have faith that you're going to be able to survive in that type of a scenario. So the cookie cutter approach that many people would have for a pitcher, which they call these 120 programs where you're not allowed to pitch beyond 120 feet, that's your baseline right there. That's where you need to be to show that your arm is healthy, to show that you can pitch on a regular basis, that you can go out there and be a major league pitcher. You need to be able to get to that. And that stemmed from rehab programs that they did after surgery. But if you want pitchers to be the best, which is what you're designing your programs to do, then you need to tailor them to individual pitchers and to make it go beyond just that baseline so that they can exceed. Because the Army doesn't exist to make a great soldier, to make a top five soldiers, out of 40 that they have in boot camp. They're designed to make a mass number of soldiers, as many as they can, that can all do at least this. And if you're better, that's great. But we just need to make sure that you can fire a gun, that you can run 10 miles in a day with all your gear on, that you can do this, that you can do this. And if you can't do that, then you can't be a soldier. If you can do more than that, great. But we just need to make sure you do this. But if you're a major league pitcher, it's not just about, well, we want you to be able to throw 90 miles an hour. As long as you can throw 90 miles an hour, then you can play for the Royals, which that may actually be the case, but that's not what it should be.
That's pretty much what it should be.
Nailed it right there.
The point is, if you've got a pitcher who can pitch 90, and you stretch him out with long toss, and he could pitch 92, isn't that to your benefit? Isn't that what you want to do?
All right, follow-up question. Pitcher or belly itcher?
We got a lot of belly itchers.
Which one would we like?
I want a pitcher. And not a belly itcher. So.
We'll have more discussion of
stuff.
The Kansas City Royals.
And that.
Hi, this is Ned Baudette for Kelly's Westport Inn. Summertime is here, and that means one thing. Your neighbor's cat sneaks over and craps in your garden. No, of course, I'm just joking. Summer also means my neighbor borrowing your boat trailer and driving it into Smithville Lake, or mosquitoes, or your three-year-old drinking the air conditioner water. Haha, I guess what I'm saying here is that summer means different things to different people. And for 65 years, Kelly's Westport Inn has been a vacation for those summer problems ever since Randall Kelly poured his first frosty draft in 1947. 102 degrees and 99% humidity? Don't worry, Kelly's is air conditioned. And the drinks are as cold as ice. And when the heat breaks, Randall's rooftop is ready for you to kick back, or you can head downstairs for some of the best live music in town. Summer is different things to different people, but to everyone in Kansas City, Kelly's Westport is your summertime bar. I'm Ned Baudette for Kelly's Westport Inn. We'll leave the taps on for you.
Monday Night Hike.
In the last 2 years, all of the teams in the NFL, with the exception of the Chiefs, have made some sort of upgrade at quarterback or have maintained their franchise player.
If you're telling me this year in the draft that the Chiefs had the opportunity to trade two first-round picks,
along with their second round pick both years for the number one overall pick to take Matt Barkley, I'm jumping on that. I am. Maybe I'm alone in that. Maybe most people think that's too much. I don't.
Listen to Monday Night Pikes live every Monday at econetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Royal Man Report. We got a little off the rails earlier.
We took a poll, and it is 19 for pitcher, one joker wanted a belliature.
Oh, okay. Thank
you.
So
we have one belliature.
Yeah. We are. There's also another event that we do have to talk about at some point. There is apparently at the game today there was an impersonator.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
There's all these parody accounts on Twitter.
Parody accounts. They've infiltrated.
They're becoming real life now.
Quite frankly, the fake accounts on Twitter have just ruined Twitter for me.
It's terrible.
I know that's a little meta, but
I hope I never meet someone who has a fake Twitter account.
Now, the fake accounts have seemed to infiltrate, if you will, real life as there was some sort of a sighting.
Let's pull up the exact quote here. Give me 1 second.
Sighting. well, I mean, Roman insisted on,
here it is. Tweeted a couple hours ago. Rumor has it that there was someone claiming to be me at the K today. I was not in attendance today, FYI. From Casey Roman.
And I mean, thank you. That shows that the man's clear. Done a service to America, quite honestly, because it wasn't him. But we do have an exclusive photograph.
This just in.
Of whom we believe that the fake Royal Man was. Can we get that on the shot?
There it is.
There it is right there.
It seems to be confused about who to put.
One wears a cape.
It might be fake Twin Man, actually, but it doesn't.
One,
it's okay.
One wears one a cape, and so does Troy.
The back hair is.
Wow. That is so
magnificently.
I mean, my
terrifying.
Goodness, that is. That's crazy. That's unfortunate.
All right,
but,
take that off.
Can we take that off?
Please.
There we go.
Thank you.
So anyway, we just wanted to clear that up coming out of break. Sorry about that.
That's disturbing.
But there you go.
So, all right.
Cricket,
sorry.
Royals.
So, that. I mean, that pretty much sums it up, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about, Mike, what were your impressions, Jeremy Guthrie? We talked about, I kind of went on the rant about Ned Yost's quote, but.
Well, I mean, from what I saw, I was kind of in and out and away from the TV. I didn't see a lot of it, but I saw enough. I mean, he looked like he was throwing the ball all right. He got to that point in the third inning where he was, he got to two outs and walked a couple of guys, lost Mauer, lost Span, I think it was, and, gave up a big hit. He looks like he's got better command and control than Sanchez and maybe ran into something, but he's also struggled all year. So, I don't know if this is just like trading, 15 pounds of crap for 13 bags of crap, I don't know. I mean, that's what I think Petro said earlier, right after the trade of Sanchez for Guthrie, is that it was crap for crap. And, there's some evidence to suggest that maybe Guthrie was victimized by pitching in Denver. I mean, half his starts were there, and he had a 9.5 ERA, and just wasn't good. And he was like 3.67 on the road, which, maybe he can turn it around away from there. But he still hasn't, the numbers are still
there. And, I mean, I think when you look at his track record as a little bit more consistent than Sanchez's, mm-hmm. like you said, I mean, you can't make excuses for the guy just because he was in Coors Park. I mean, plenty of pitchers have been able to have success there.
Yeah.
So, there's nothing you can't make too many excuses for him. But things I did see, at least looking at his stats that were encouraging, were walks seemed to be much less than Sanchez. Despite
that's not difficult to do.
Exactly.
Still, it's like...
But hey,
2.5 walks per 9 innings. That's very good.
That's pretty good. So there's that. Now, granted, he had 2 walks today, 3 walks?
I think it was 3.
3 walks.
Hey, Drew Locke, what do you want? What do you want out of a guy?
One of them.
A whip around one? I mean, what is wrong with you?
One of them got the bases loaded that he then allowed a double and two runs scored, and it just it kind of went from there. So, I mean, he had the one bad inning, mm-hmm. and that seems to be the Royals' motto. If you take
that
away
one bad inning.
Actually,
if this were an eight-inning game,
I tweeted,
we'd be 500 and beyond.
And, assuming we could pick the inning. That we got to. It's kind of like the statistical analysis, right? You take the outliers away. Your highest.
You take away the Russian judge, and the other judge,
there
and
you
then
go.
You like get the ones
school,
in the middle.
Test score and your worst test score, and get your average.
There you go. Ho Chavers pitching today, so we're dropping the fourth inning and the fifth inning, and then the rest of it we keep. How's that sound?
Fantastic.
And all of Broxton's innings.
Shut yes, out. There you go. Boom, Royals are best team in the
That's
league right
Dave
there.
That's what Dave Moore is missing out on. He needs to be rewriting the rules.
Redesign
yeah,
the
see,
game.
We're,
think outside the box.
Think outside the box, exactly. That's your process.
Yeah, we, I mean, I don't know. I think he's...
Dynamite drop in there, Monty.
Here are the things, like if we're comparing Guthrie and Sanchez. Sanchez, obviously, he's never been a guy who's going to pitch deep into games. He throws too many pitches. He walks too many. And in the last 2 years, he's been hit a lot. And, you know, it's either he's worked up too many pitches and only get you know comes out in the fifth inning, or he comes out in the second inning because he's been beat up. So, you know, there was no benefit to Sanchez anymore. Guthrie, at least over the course of his career, he averages around like 198 innings a year since 2007. You know, and the Royals really don't have a lot of guys that have been able to do that. I mean, Luke Hochaver was up there in that range last year, and Greinke when he was here. But by and large, over the last 5-6 years, there haven't really been a lot of guys who can just chew up those innings. You know, right now I was looking at these stats. You know who the pitcher with the fifth most innings
who?
On the
who?
Royals
tell me.
Is?
Tell me who.
It's Kelvin Herrera. You've got five guys to start, and Herrera's your fifth most used pitcher. He's got 48.1 innings, and that's your fifth most inning. You know, some of that is bringing people up and down, and some of that is getting all these spot starts. But you know, you got to see some of those guys get some traction and actually be able to stay in the game. You know, and not get sent back down to Omaha. It's like Vin Mazzara has a couple of good starts, and then boom, one bad one, and he's back in Omaha.
Right.
Nate Adcock has a couple of good starts, one bad one, boom, he's gone. You know, at some point, you just kind of got to get guys in there and leave them in there and let them sink or swim, especially now. Because, I mean, playoffs are long gone. 500 is long gone. You know, we got to see some kind of progress and build it to next year. So, Guthrie, I think, is part of that. And maybe even if he gets 5 or 6 good starts here in a row, maybe another team in the middle of August thinks they want to pick him up. Or, you know, I don't know.
Just listen to yourself.
I know.
Just come
I'm
on.
Just saying. I mean,
this is like
what the hell's wrong with you?
This is like the baseball perspectives event where you
come on.
You afterwards, just is this where we're at, really? No, if you squared around, you can just see Jacoby Easy starting opening day in 2013.
What you can
yes.
Get.
Yes, that is where we are.
Absolutely.
We're actually well past that.
You have to have hope somewhere. And I guess the biggest part of hope
I mean,
is that.
For Christ's sake, this happened in our stadium. So a guy with Mauer etched in his back. So
that's just not right.
No,
it's not.
It's awesome.
It's not right at all.
Fascinating. I can't stop looking at
this
it.
This is one where I hope people are listening and not watching the
right,
YouTube
yeah,
later.
That's true.
Because that's just not right.
Awesome.
That's just wrong. Yeah, the Royals pitching sucks. I'm at the point now where I kind of just want to see everybody who could come up be up. You know, let's bring up Johnny Giovitelli, who's hitting about 400 this month.
Well, this goes back to the argument that we had last year, and I don't say any of us with each other, but just in general, the fans with the Royals.
Because we don't argue with each other.
No, of course
we're
not.
We're much
of course
more,
not.
More civilized.
But the question of where's the consistency in the Royals' message?
Hey, Royal Man Report fans, wanted to tell you about a way to help the podcast by doing nothing different. What do you mean? Well, I'll tell you. You shop at Amazon.com, right? Who doesn't? Books, electronics, lawn darts. Lawn darts? Yeah, MF'n lawn darts. It's all at Amazon.com. Well, next time you need to buy something from Amazon, just go to EchoNetwork.com instead. EKOH Network.com. And click the Amazon.com link. It's on the right side of the page. You can't miss it. That takes you to the same website, Amazon.com, but also sends us a couple of bucks when you buy something.
few bucks here, a few bucks there, and before you know it, we're rich doing this podcast from Hawaii. Actually, a few bucks could go a long way to helping with the studio and all this equipment. What is this button going to do? I have no idea. Anyway, go to EKOHnetwork.com and click on the Amazon.com link. Buy whatever you want, help yourself, help your friends at the Royal Man Report also. And now, back to the show.
I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby,
Welcome back to the Royal Man Report. I think we're back live now.
Are we back?
Shit, I don't know. God.
Are we back? Can we hear us? Can you hear us? Can you guys hear us?
Yeah, depending on.
We're back twice if you're in Milwaukee.
Depending on how much of this we retrieve or not, welcome back in or welcome to.
The Cliff Notes version of The Royals Stink.
Yeah, can you recap the first 30 minutes of the show,
Mike? Oh, man.
Thank you.
That might have been some of my best podcasting ever. And it's just
it's gone.
It's gone forever.
It's in the vapor now.
It's out there.
But I am curious if a mighty nice Blue Screen of Death reboot fixed the audio for those of you in the chat room. If you guys can let me know that.
So far, there's no response. So
yeah, I don't think there's
no response at all.
There were
no responses when there was no show.
You know what's funny? we have the best people that listen to this train wreck of a show.
Absolutely.
Every week. I mean, we do.
Every week.
Not only the folks that are in our live show, but the folks that listen on Stitcher and on iTunes and wherever every week. The fact of the matter is we were off the air for a good solid 10 minutes. I come back in and everybody's still there. They're just, you know, it's like, you know, when the teacher just in college, when the teacher just gets up and runs out of the room, you're like, I'll just hang out.
Yeah,
what else am I going to do? You want to go play Frisbee on the quad or you just want to hang out? Go hang out.
You frothed on the quad, didn't you? You frothed.
I frothed not. No, but you had to hang out on the quad to, you know, in case the ladies came out.
That's some good sightseeing.
Over by the baseball stadium at Mizzou, there was an area over by one of the dorms where they all laid out, like, the very first sunny day of spring. That was, like, the best day in the world for...
There's a hill out
19-year-old me.
Room.
It was great. It's good stuff. Anyway.
This is what we talk about.
That's our show. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening.
Hope you enjoyed it. We just had 2 hours of great content that I hope you love.
And we wrapped it up talking about back hair and...
Yeah.
Ladies on the quad in Mizzou.
That happened. And in case none of the first part of the show was retrievable. Oh, he's not even in here anymore. Shit. I don't know. Sorry. Go ahead. Talk amongst yourselves. You guys were having a nice debate about pitching. How crappy the Royals are. And I did want to ask, just to throw one positive out there, you know, the offense hasn't been terrible the last week. We're hitting. We're scoring 6 runs a game. So, I mean, that's something.
It's kind of like the 2000 Royals where, you know, they scored a ton of runs, but nobody –
Now, is that a product of the Royals' offense really turning around, or the fact that the teams have been so far ahead in the first couple of innings that you can slack off a little bit? You don't have to pitch your closer.
They just throw strikes because they want to get the strikes in there. Yeah, I mean, there's part of that. I mean, the Royals were down, 7-1, or it was 7-1, I think, and Butler homers, and then they get 2 more in the ninth. So, you know, those are 4 runs maybe if it's a closer game you don't run into because they use the bullpen differently.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to that, I think. You know, they're more willing to throw a strike because, you know, if you throw strikes more often than not, you're going to get a guy out. Sometimes Billy Butler's going to hit it, you know, halfway to the Hall of Fame, but, you know, you've got a buffer. You've got 6 runs to play with at that point. So
that's true.
It's not really a big deal. I don't know.
Right, Jeff. Very good.
That's right.
Just sucks.
We're at our wit's end.
Yeah, well, you know, some interesting stuff. The trade deadline's coming up. It's about 9 days. The trade deadline will come around, and you know, maybe Jeff Francoeur can find a suitor. I don't know. I mean, at this point, he's not playing well. He's
like
not
in life, in life, or
I think he's found that.
What's he at now? Is he like 245?
Yeah, 28 RBIs.
That's tradable, isn't it?
5, 6 home runs.
Squint.
You're squinting again. Yeah,
I'm squinting.
Now he's got 8 homers, but I mean, he looks like a totally different person in the field. Like last year, he was making plays. He was jumping over the fence to rob home runs. He was getting to the ball. This year, I mean,
he looks older.
Like, watch him run. I mean, I coached 11-year-olds in Little League, and watching them run, their arms are out to their sides. They look like they're marionettes running out there, and that's what he looks like when he chases the ball. It doesn't look athletic or graceful.
Yesterday, after the closed-door meeting, the team did seem somewhat inspired, and they were stretching singles into doubles. And
oh, we had another closed meeting?
Yesterday, they
winners
did.
Winners win.
Yeah. And Frenchie... Frenchie stretched a single into a double, but he looked absolutely gassed. I mean, it's 101 outside, so I mean that's one of it. But
yeah.
He just looked gassed. He looked old. He got up after stretching it to a double, and he just looked like he was surprised in itself that he made it that far. The other thing that I don't know if you guys have heard of, and it certainly hasn't been mentioned on the telecast, is Escobar and Butler kind of got into it the other night.
Yeah,
I saw a mention. I haven't heard anything else on it.
I saw one thing on Twitter about that and haven't heard anything else.
And Escobar got tossed in the ninth today. So maybe there's
that.
And I'd be mad too if I were these guys. So
not only is it bad enough that you're 40-53 and you're the Royals, but you got to be looking at Alcides Escobar, who's just saying,
just
you know what,
a big
I
deal.
Just signed a five-year contract. I signed the next 5 years of my life for this organization.
Every night.
And this is what I'm going to deal with. It's 187 freaking degrees out here. I'm batting .320. I can't get in the All-Star game.
Billy Butler's sitting in the dugout. He's got a sweatshirt on.
It's got a hoodie on. He's yelling at me in between innings. I got this guy telling me that this umpire telling me that the guys that I hit over to second aren't safe. Something's got to give here.
And honestly, we are getting the last place team umpires too, because we are not getting the Red Sox Yankees umpiring crew. We are getting the 19th crew on the roster, because that guy today, the second base umpire and then a home plate umpire, not good.
Just
not crazy. Good.
And there was
I saw a pitch that crossed the line on the other side of the dugout's batter's box that the guy rung up Butler, or Gordon. And
dropped his bat?
That was just one of the worst strike calls I've ever seen in my life. And I'm not supposed to say stuff like that, but that guy was awful. That guy was terrible.
God,
anyway.
I just don't know. Where were we? Oh, yeah, we were talking about Frenchie.
Frenchie and offense.
Frenchie and all that. And his contract's pretty much untradeable. They're going to have to eat the contract if they want to get anything, really.
Well, I would think that they would. Same with Broxton. You know, I think they're going to have to give something.
Yeah.
The rumors are that they're ready to get rid of Broxton. They're ready to ship him off, but their asking price is
too
high.
They're asking for a lot because I think they're probably pushing his saves, and everybody else in the league knows, okay, well, you're not going to fool us on that.
His whip's like 1.5, whatever
his
it is.
I mean, when you compare how many saves he has to what, like, Craig Kimbrell and other guys have, it's like twice as high. You know, his strikeouts are as low as they've ever been. He's walking a lot.
We're going to dive into this real quick here.
Yeah, I mean, he's just not good.
Live podcast, live statistical analysis right here from the accountant Jeff Herr.
Statistical analysis music.
Can we get some
stuff? Hang on, let me pull that up. Yeah.
I mean, the guy has 2.34. Yeah. we got the YouTube.
This is
the YouTube police on us last time.
It's all I have on the cart, ready to go.
Oh, yeah,
any given time, I will pop it out. Sorry.
Go ahead. 34 and two-thirds innings, Broxton is a 2.34 ERA. Solid. Not bad.
Not bad.
You know? But is a 4.04 XFIP. Those of you who don't know what XFIP is.
Yeah. I don't know what XFIP is.
The long and it stands for Expected Fielding Independent Pitching. But the long and the short of it is that this is more or less, if you take out park factors, if you take out defense, if you take out all the extraneous factors that a pitcher cannot control, this is supposed to evaluate how well a pitcher does based on what they can control.
So it's a substitute factor.
How they strike out, how many home runs they give up,
based on
how many walks
the relativity of the rest of the league.
Exactly, and it compares it, yeah. So, and it's the scale is basically the same as an ERA.
Yeah.
So if above a 4 ERA is not good, then above 4 FIP, XFIP is not good either. That's where he's at right now.
So
he's a closer.
Yeah.
With that.
And it's
you
just
know,
like,
so
how many times has he put on the tying run on base in these saves?
Every time.
Yeah, he gets out of it, sure, but at a certain point, that, you know, if you're a contending team and you know that, I'm not going to give up a top, you know, starting pitching prospect for that guy.
Yeah, his kid is, his strikeout to walk ratio is 1.7.
That's just not good.
Yeah.
No, I mean you want
you
like a baseline
to get away with that if you're striking out 10 guys per 9 innings.
Yeah,
I mean, and barely.
He's doing 6. I mean, you want like 2-1 as a baseline, yeah, basically, and you want, you know, when you get into that 3-1, 4-1, then you're looking at your all stars, your Cy Young contenders.
Yeah, you're.
You know, your
big guys.
You're 2010 Jonathan Sanchez. But yeah. That was cruel. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that.
low blow.
But ultimately, I mean, his peripherals aren't there. And you can't, as much as Dayton Moore doesn't look about it or care at that stuff, the only thing he cares about is saves. I'm sure that's dumb.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. You know, he needs to realize that the rest of the league, if he's not that smart, the rest of the league is. So,
yeah,
if anything, he needs to understand, not because he needs to be smarter. Well, he does, but
yeah,
not for that reason alone, but just because everybody else already is.
Well, the elephant in the room here, and it is now starting to be addressed by what I would say higher echelons of Twitter people instead of just us angry Royal fans down at the bottom, but there is now in the mid-range and the upper range.
Yeah.
It's now starting to come
the
down on Dayton Moore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Dayton Moore. I mean,
it's always been on glass. You know, he's
always been
the
glass
boogeyman.
Yeah.
But, you know, what has he not given him the opportunity for? I mean, if you have, you know, this great car and you put in all this money into the car and you put a driver behind who has no idea what they're doing, that car is going to wreck. So, you know, you can give Dayton all the money, but what's he going to go do? He's going to go sign Jeff Francoeur to a 2-year deal after year he hasn't had since 2005.
Honestly,
you're going to sign Unieski Betancourt when you could have had Mike Aviles and just kept him
for less money. If Dayton gets fired any time in the next 10 years, the top line of his tombstone is going to be the Sanchez for Cabrera trade. I mean, it's just going to be that. It was so egregious, and you know it's just awful. It's a fireable offense. It really, really is.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not. It, everybody agrees that we all would probably have done the same thing
in the same spot.
But
yeah,
given the mountain of evidence, in addition to all of that, it becomes the top line of the tombstone.
Yeah, I mean, it's what stands out in 20 years. Nobody's going to remember that. Yeah, at the time, it was a pretty good trade. You know, it's like, okay, I'm sure the Lou Brock trade looked all right at the time. I'm sure the John Smoltz trade for Doyle Alexander probably looked all right at the time. Jeff Bagwell, all that, you know.
Mark and Storm Davis, it's going to go right up there with
right,
you know,
which
Ed Hearn.
That's the turning point right there. That Mark Davis, that was where things started to really fall apart.
Yep.
And that was 1990, and it's never recovered. And it's just, it's terrible. It sucks.
Well, what's so odd to me is the, when you looked at the Chiefs, like the problem they had, they couldn't win all those playoff games, and they had so much trouble they couldn't get to the Super Bowl, and there was a constant in there. There was Carl Peterson from 1988 to 2008. He was
right.
20 years he was there. So he was the constant. So at the very least, we could look and say, you know what, maybe he was a problem, and that's why they fired him and so on. But for the last 25 years, the Royals haven't had the same general manager. They haven't had the same managers. They've had quite a few of each.
Haven't had the same owner.
And yeah, and it's an organizational, just culture, paradigm, whatever you want to call it. It feeds on itself, and something needs to change. Something has to be done on that level. You know, not just, oh, we're not going to change
DNA.
The lineup anymore.
Yeah.
Something to come in, and when I keep bringing this up, and you know, it's because I idolize the Rays organization so much, but when Andrew Friedman come up, they shook up that whole organization.
Yeah.
They said, we're changing the way we do things around here, and we're doing it differently, and look what happened.
Well,
you know, the Dayton Moore, I mean, he came in, and he changed the way they scout and the way they draft, and he's done a phenomenal job.
Yep.
But
and
other than that, what has he changed? What has he done that has made this organization better outside of getting us a good farm system that has not translated to wins on the field?
Yeah. No, I mean, whatever is going on, it's at the DNA level. It's at the molecular level. It's just, it's so ingrained out there at One Row Away that you can change the drapes, you can put lipstick on the pig, but it's still,
yep,
it's still the same deal. And so it's certainly frustrating. This is it's hard to imagine there are lower points in the Royals' future or the past than this, because from our time, you know, I mean, our time, this, you know, this was the marketing slogan that is now, you know, being carried through, and it's just been a train wreck up and down and all over, and I agree with you. I admire Dayton Moore and what he's been able to do and what he's put in these organizational philosophies at the minor league levels, you know, about the not wearing your sunglasses over the logo and keeping your pants pulled up and crap like that. But that's all great, but it's not working. In six years, it hasn't worked, and it's not working, and it does not seem now. There are already, I heard on the radio today, the first guy, and I made a note of it this week, the first guy to say, well, maybe 2013 isn't looking all great. Maybe we got to start targeting 2014. Okay, well, fine. You know, then that tells me that the process or the plan or the, you know, the,
because that basically means you're starting over. Because
if
we're to look at other organizations that were in at or in close to the same situation as the Royals, Pirates, Rays, Nationals, Diamondbacks, Orioles, whoever, it has taken them from the time they've switched, mm-hmm. you know, whether general managers usually is the big switch.
Right.
From the time that's happened, the each one of them has basically turned it around in 4 to 5 years.
Yeah.
And the Royals are in year six, and they're not any better than they were 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Those are the facts. I don't care
how the Twins did it, you know, before, you know, whatever. That's one example. But, yeah, I mean, you look at the Tigers in the past. You know, they went from losing 100 games to within 3 years being in the World Series. You know, why can't that happen here? I mean, that should be and you can blame injuries, fine, you can say that, but let's say that Duffy and Paulina were still here. Is that going to make that big of a difference? I mean, maybe they're closer to 500 and there's incremental success, but it's not, I don't know. I'm at my wit's end. I just don't
Mike's
know.
In a bad place today, man.
I am just broken
He's
down.
In a bad place.
And I try to see things, you know, from as analytical a spot as I can most of the time, you know, and I want to give Dayton Moore the benefit of the doubt and assume that they have more information. But at a certain point, it's just like, what are you doing?
You know, I think it's a good mile marker when I'm not really reading the chat room, but all I see is Dave Darby every 4 seconds just spouting some other piece of venom towards the team. So,
yeah.
You know, we're in a bad place. Today was a bad loss. All week, I mean, 10-game
just –
a 10-game homestand after your signature all-star event that's not going to happen for another 40 years.
Yeah.
This should have been the watershed moment when it finally comes over the dam and you start to turn it around, and we win, what, 3 games in a 10-game homestand?
Maybe you feed off that energy and do something. No, they just laid another turd.
It's shocking. So, I don't know, fellas, what else we got as far as business? I may have to dump out of the show and fix a couple of technical issues over here, but got anything else we need to talk about?
Well, let's try to look at something positive.
Let's do it. I like it.
Batman came out this weekend. That's positive,
awesome.
Right?
Batman, yeah. I love it.
I'm wearing a shirt.
They are not endorsing or sponsoring us in any way. This is completely my opinion, but go see The Dark Knight Rises because I thought it was awesome. I'm not a comic book movie guy.
I was going to go buy Freebirds the other day, but the line was out the door, and I had no intention of waiting for 2 hours for burrito. So.
But, you know, Kyle Zimmer, doing great. He's got 10 innings down there. Hasn't walked anybody. 13 strikeouts, giving up one run. That's great. I mean,
has anybody called into Robert Ford's show and said, why haven't they brought him up yet?
Not yet.
Or on the Royals Facebook page?
I did on my way over here, actually.
maybe they should. I think his next step, he's probably going to end up at Kane County, or maybe one start in Idaho Falls and then Kane County. You know,
I think I brought this up. Bubba Starling continues to do well, batting 292, OPS 980 roughly.
948.
Oh, that's a 25, not 40. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. The accountant right here. You're right. 948.
All right. He is trained professional.
And very, very, very impressive 15% walk rate, which I like to see from a young player.
Yeah, that's really good.
But what I want to mention, I think I mentioned this on Baseball Vault, I think. But Adalberto Mondesi continues to do well. in he's in Idaho Falls. Him and Ilya Hernandez, both of them, two youngest players in all the minor league baseball, I believe. Alberto Mondesi was born in 1995, I think. I mean, 1995. The dude has never been. Not only has he, like the rest of us, not been alive since the Royals have won a playoff game, he hasn't been alive since the Chiefs have won a playoff game.
He was born a year after Bob Hamlin won Rookie of the Year.
Boom, right there. He's 16 years old, and last I checked, hitting over 300 in Idaho Falls. Ilya Hernandez, who's supposed to be a legit five-tool talent type guy,
he's Andrew Jones type.
He's center field guy. He's kind of struggling a little bit, but you know he's still young too. Like I was saying, he was born in I think 94, so he's only 17 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, who knows when we'll see him? You know. I mean, typically, I think if they're starting in the rookie at Idaho, maybe 5 years from now would be about normal, which
so
would
now
put
we're
him
building
at,
to 2017
exactly, which would put him at 21 years old. But hey, if he's 16 and he continues to tear through the minors, maybe he's the A-Rod type who gets in at 19. Which is still 2015.
Yeah,
but
it's not unheard of to get those guys.
Yeah, but I think we talked about earlier though that the problem is there's these guys and there's some talent down there.
It's just they're a ways away, and
that huge wave we kept talking about last year. Yeah. It's here. Pretty much. I mean, this is what we're going to get.
Yeah,
you know, we got Will Myers.
Sal Perez.
We got Will Myers still coming up and Jake Odorizzi as well. But for the most part, I mean, that wave is here.
Your next batch is the Yordano Ventura, who's in AA. Jason Adam, who's going to be in AA. I'd be shocked if he makes more than one start in Wilmington. He's been pitching really well lately. Kyle Smith, he's been great down there. I think he's had a couple of bad starts, but, you know, his numbers overall look really good. And Zimmer, you know, is another guy. But 3 years away, you know, for that next wave. So it's going to have to come, if there's any kind of improvement, it's going to have to come from a trade this offseason.
Yeah.
Free agent signing this offseason.
Dane Moore, if he wants to save his job, he's going to have to get creative.
He's going to have to go for it, pretty much. I mean, some of these guys we're talking about, they might not be here starting next year because they're going to have to give something up.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how much they're going to be willing to give up at the major league level. You know, I don't know. You know, they've said it's the trade that hurts. You know, I don't want to trade anybody at the major league level right now, but maybe it's going to have to be that way. I mean, we'll see. I'm terrible at coming up with trade scenarios anyway. I don't know. So, but, you know, I don't know. It just seems like they're going to have to pay something. And, you know, if that brings in one pitcher and then you go out and sign, like, let's say they go sign Anibal Sanchez, who's with the Marlins now. You know, he's a decent guy. Maybe Sean Markham's a target. Greinke is kind of the great white whale that everybody kind of wants him to go after. But even now, he's kind of struggled and had some fatigue issues after some weird... He started 3 games in a row, which is just weird.
Yeah.
I know he got tossed in, like, after the first few pitches of the first game.
Yeah.
What happened in the second game that allowed him to start the third game? That's the part I don't understand.
I don't remember the circumstances of it, but maybe it was the break.
Yeah. I think it was he started the last game before the All-Star.
Oh, the All-Star break and then the first game. Yeah, I got you. Okay. Yeah.
So,
that makes sense. That's pretty
just
awesome.
Weird. But still, it's in a week. You know, you get up and do your preparation for the start, and maybe it wore on him. I don't know. But Granky's going to be a guy out there. Cole Hamels. I mean, I think he's been offered an extension. He's going to sign in L.A. if he doesn't resign.
Cole Hamels is going to sign a $200 million contract.
Yeah.
So there's no way the Royals get that. I mean, that's your best case scenario. That Anibal Sanchez, who's a three,
yeah,
a good solid three on a championship team.
Yeah.
If you can get him,
sign Greinke, and make a trade for someone.
Exactly. I think that's all you can do. And it almost has to be one of those situations where Dayton Moore has to go all in for next year if he wants
to
save his job.
He really kind of has to. He's got to take that ace king and push it all in the middle.
I mean, say the Royals do exactly what they did last year, 71-91. Okay? Then next year, if they are not 500... He's fired. He's canned. He's done. He's got to be fired. I know.
Patience, and then there's just...
And then there's... That is your eight. And to clarify, that's your seven, I guess, next year.
Don't point.
But
it's not nice to point. Now you're getting angry.
I'm sorry. I'm getting angry.
Jeff Smash.
But that was my Hulk impression.
I got it.
Not as good a movie as Superman.
I'm going to stop talking. But false, sir. But we're not going to have that argument right now.
I like the original. I like the reboot Superman, and I'm going to like this Man of Steel. So you know you can just suck it.
You know what? Superman will. Hey!
What?
Because I don't like Superman is what I'm trying to say here.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Where are we at, boys?
I don't know where we're going to go. Where's the sheet? Somebody pull up the sheet.
We're just drained. I think we're done. I think emotionally, we're done. Spiritually, fanatically.
Yes. Just.
I'm calling it, boys.
Yeah, Johnny.
I'm calling it.
Yeah. Good call. Thanks.
I don't know. Yeah.
Thanks to Dayton Moore for the material.
Thanks to Dayton Moore. Thanks to Dave Darby.
Royal Man for the back hair. Thanks to everybody for listening. Hey, you know, it gets better.
We'll be on ESPN 1510 on Thursdays with the Kansas City Baseball Vault. Also, pay attention to EKOHnetwork.com. Going to be some breaking news about the Royals pitching performances. And always, every Sunday night, RoyalManReport.com. We'll be right here. We are your shoulder to cry on, America. Here we are, RoyalManReport.com. Go Royals.
Bye.